Welcome to the Get Together.
All over the world, there are people thinking about and creating a future of live digital events and performances.
They're disparate innovators who are artists, tech founders, nonprofits, and investors, and they need a place to gather and share ideas.
That's what the Get Together is all about.
I'm Jess, a theater creator who loves bringing people together around technology, art, and the internet.
And I'm Joe, a tech and media startup vet with over 10 years of experience growing and operating businesses.
Thanks for getting together with us. Let's dig in. Joe, our conversation on the Get Together Live this week was so much fun, I thought.
I thought it was very fun. I really enjoy a world in which we bounce between theatrical productions, stage recordings, proof of attendance protocols. We were all over the place. It was great.
It's true. It has become kind of a motley crew of topics that we keep sort of coming back to and winding into like examining our own work, everybody that joins us.
Yeah. And I appreciate all of our guests' willingness and ability to just come on for the ride. You know, and they don't necessarily have a depth of experience with POAP, but they're like, oh, I kind of get this and I'll tell you what I think and how I feel. And I hate it.
That's so true. I actually think it was so present today in a way that I haven't really absorbed in previous episodes, that like how valuable it is to have so many lenses on a topic like POAP, right? And I'm talking like, it's kind of like the real, like what we love about the real meaning of diversity. We have technology native people like you, right? We have just straight up theater makers thinking about, you know, theater. We have big gaps in generations that join those conversations. We have obviously people from different backgrounds, racially and with gender and sexuality. So like today in particular, I thought all of those different lenses and experiences really, really added to the conversation.
They definitely did. And I especially love one specific example that was popping to me was what, as we were talking about POAPs, you know, proof of attendance protocols, little digital takeaways and memorabilia, mm-hmm. that people were like, I don't like this, I'm not into it. And then went on to explain how much they love memorabilia.
I know.
And it just like bridged this gap for me of like, oh, like it is 100% a technological barrier. It's the sort of the slightly new, slightly scary, even though a POAP in this example represents the exact thing that this person was saying they loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay. Like that's back to like one of those things I love to say of like, what's the actual problem? What's the actual challenge that we're trying to solve?
Yep.
And it's like, oh, the technological hurdle. It's not that we're trying to convince people that these things are fun and cool, you know, digital memorabilia, but the demand, they want, the love is there. It's the tech hurdle that's the hard part. So yeah, that was really enlightening.
Ah, that's so cool. I love that. Well, if you're interested in this topic, you can catch the Get Together Live. It's up on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Broadway Unlocked. And this episode would have been the May 17th episode that we are referencing. So it's a pretty cool conversation. And you'll have to let us know if you enjoy it. But we're not talking POAPs here today, Joseph. Thomas White III. Do you guys know Joe's actual name ever? I don't think it's ever been said. That's his name.
Oh, interesting. All of the get together stands are going to go back through the archives and be like, well, you did say it that one time on episode 6. So
that's true. It's such a good name. I just had to say it all out loud. It's really such
I think
a good
it's pretty
name.
Good too. I like it.
We're talking about hybrid stuff today, but before you turn this off, because you're like, Jess and Joe never shut up about hybrid. It's a particularly interesting, I think, topic today. We were asked to participate in this really cool conversation with Hopin, which is a digital event platform that we use quite frequently. They were in New York last week doing a little bit of a road show, and they asked us to speak about hybrid events and sort of the state of hybrid events. And thanks so much for those of you who joined us at the Standard. But if you didn't, I thought it would be really interesting to chat a little bit more about that today. In particular, I wanted to start somewhere super specific, which is one of the sort of prep questions they had given us that I was really surprised to see and really glad to see, which is, what was your definition of a hybrid event before the pandemic? which of course is an interesting question for us because we were doing this way before, unlike a lot of companies. And how has your definition changed since? Which I feel like is another like really good question to mine for us.
Oh, that is really, really fun and really, really good. I love whoever thought up these questions, drafted these for us and the other speakers before this event. Like, kudos to you. Just shout out, because that's a great question and a great way to think about this challenge. Because I feel like so many people would answer that first question, you know, what was your perception of your definition of a hybrid event before the pandemic, would be, I didn't have one. I wasn't thinking about it. Yeah.
So true.
Which is honestly like not too far off from how I would frame, I think, my own answer to that question, which is, I wasn't thinking of it in terms of hybrid events. Mm-hmm. You know, even if there were components that blended what was happening in person with a digital audience, I don't think I would have thought about it as hybrid or as blending of those two audiences. I think I would have thought of it as, oh, this is an event, you know, no modifiers on that, just an event, which is the in-person event. Mm-hmm. And it has digital components. I'm like, oh, fun. You know, you can do a thing on your phone, you can download a thing there. Maybe someone is watching a live stream. But that the concept of a hybrid event like hadn't materialized in the way that we now are privileged to be able to talk about and to be have done a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. What about you? What was your sort of like before times definition or perception of a hybrid event?
Yeah, I had a similar sort of first stop on this journey that you did, which was I was thinking about, I mean, in 2013, but also 14, 16, 18. I don't know if hybrid, that word existed to you, like exactly like you were saying, because I certainly, all I did every year was struggle with how to describe this concert. And it was like the Give Back concert, Broadway's first interactive live streaming benefit concert. You know what I mean? And like all these like,
mouthful.
Oh my God, super clunky description. So like certainly was thinking about hybrid as a concept in that I'm, you know, we're asking a digital or inviting a digital audience to participate with us, but definitely did not have the words. So that was my first stop too. But I have to say, I think the answer to this question for me is actually one of the biggest surprises that's come out of our work and our company over the last 2 years, because, you know, had you asked me, and you certainly did many times, even recently, you know, up to 6 months ago, what does hybrid mean? I would have said you do something in person live, you create a live digital component of it, like make it accessible by digital audiences, and then like add in some digital programming as well so that you have parallel path experiences. And that really was my definition of hybrid, the end. And in my brain, there wasn't a lot of room for anything else. And I think that's changed enormously across, in particular, the last 6 months as we've started to go back to everything. To me, hybrid now has a million choices. Like at base, it means something live for a digital and an in-person audience. But like, whether that's live at the same time, you know, and you're engaging the digital audience in the broadcast, live at the same time, but you've got a whole different digital team working, recorded and then, you know, streamed live at a certain time for the digital audience only. I mean, there's just like my definition of hybrid has expanded so massively. And that might also just be because the technology's changed a lot recently as well.
That makes a ton of sense to me. And I love like nested in my answer to this part of this question, you know, the now times, the present times is something you were just alluding to, which is hybrid is a big old blanket term now. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean anything because it means a whole lot of things. And there's all these sort of subversions of it where it's okay, these things, it's a live in person and a live digital happening simultaneously, but now it's actually just a pre-recorded thing happening here and here. And oh wait, it's simulcasts, and all these other terms are starting to pop up to explain the minute details between all the different ways that you can do this. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like, because you know, early listeners will know we were not the biggest fans of the term hybrid. You know, we wanted to play with words like blended and other things. So I'm glad that the concept exists to bring us all together around, okay, we at least have like a pretty basic definition of like, there's things happening in person, there's things happening digitally, let's figure it out. But it's getting more sophisticated and we're defining new ways of doing it and terms around those for allowing the industry and audience members to be able to communicate about it.
Do you think that, well, there's such obvious benefits to that because, like, to your point, one size just does not fit all in this world. But do you think there are obstacles that get introduced because it is harder to put your finger on the definition?
For sure. I think there's going to be a lot of confusion in the short term. People just saying, yeah, it's a hybrid. And, you know, someone will carry their own assumptions to that word, expect a certain experience, and then get something different and potentially be disappointed. And, you know, does that hurt the relationship between a brand, customers, or, you know, a live performer and its audience? So I could definitely see in the short term a lot of confusion when, you know, words get tossed around without a lot of care, and different expectations being brought to those words and therefore those live shows, live performances, live events. So how are you now defining hybrid?
I think just what I said at the very beginning, right? Which is like a live experience that's accessible by in-person and digital audiences.
I'm starting to think more about something that we talk about often, which is the idea that a hybrid event is often three events.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you were alluding to this a bit before with, there's what's happening in person, and it's catering to and designing for an in-person experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just different. Like, you have to think about it differently. Those people need directions to the venue in a way that the digital audience, who is also alive and also there and also needs to be taken care of and catered to and is important, they don't need directions. They're not busting out Google Maps. They just need a link and a URL to get to the platform or the environment or the Zoom to attend. Mm-hmm. And so catering for those two audiences, it by necessity requires you to sort of think about it as two separate events for a little while. And then all of a sudden there's this third event, which is the overlap of those two events that you just planned.
Yeah.
It's okay, how now is the in-person audience interacting with, engaging with, overlapping with, experiencing the digital audience and vice versa? And what thoughtful moments are you creating and thoughtful experiences are you creating with both audiences in mind now?
Yeah. And I think sort of that path that you just carved out, right, has so much room to color in, like in terms of the actual decisions you make. And I think that's something I was thinking about a lot as I was prepping for this panel was, you know, something you say frequently, that live digital is a lot like the early days of social media, in that it's this medium and mode to deliver content and, you know, create connections with your customers and potential customers, fans, audiences, whatever it is. I think that's really a check in the box for that justification, that live digital isn't just an event industry or vertical. Do you know what I mean? That it is whatever the fuck you call social media, because to fill in that path can be as wild and complicated as, you know, Amplify 2021, where there, you know, is a ton of interactive stuff happening and two different pathways and we've got a huge team. But, you know, if you follow your audience and your community first and make the live digital decisions afterwards for the hybrid event, like based on what they want and need, it can be as simple as like what we did for that association in Miami, right? Which was literally all they really wanted or needed at that moment. The digital audience was a picture to watch and a way for them, the digital audience, to, you know, create an identity and interact with each other. And that didn't take a team of 15 people, right? It took two of us, basically. And that interactive, that overlap that you were describing was also as simple, it turned out, for them as just a couple of like acknowledgments and requests to contribute from the people on stage, you know?
Yeah. I like that this fits into what you were saying before about hybrid being such a wide open word and a wide open concept, because there are so many ways to do it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the simple version, as long as it feels good and it scratches the itch, it fits the need. But yeah, even those really simple executions count, right? They're in the category of hybrid, and they are successful because they are providing what that digital audience and what that in-person audience need in that moment. It doesn't always need to be the fanciest, craziest, most complicated setup in the world.
Yeah.
It needs to people, make them feel like they're gaining some sort of value or some sort of benefit from the experience that they're having.
Yeah, something you just said made me think that I wonder if that's why I like live digital so much, because so many right answers feels a lot like art and making theater, you know? There's just like always a million right answers, as I frequently say.
That is a nice lens, because even with, you brought up social media before as a sort of a medium for communicating and creating. Like even in social media, which has reached a point of sort of hyper-commercialization and capitalism and all that good stuff, you can still do interesting things on it. Even to today, there's like interesting, weird, fun things happening on Instagram, you know, which has been turned into an advertising platform within an inch of its life.
Yeah.
Because like my brain was spinning around like, oh, is it only fun right now in live digital because it's early? I was like, and it, yeah, I think I feel hopeful that even as what works and what doesn't work starts to settle out, that there will still be creative ways to do new things and inspire people and connect people. And that feels good.
Totally. And I mean, that kind of goes back right even to the way the technology moves the medium, because, you know, some of, like I was saying a second ago, some of the expanded definition of hybrid, it, to me and my brain, has so much to do with what's possible based on technology now, right? A year ago, there weren't live streaming studios, to my knowledge, where you could upload a pre-recorded video and schedule it to go live, right? Remember, we spent so much time looking for a product like that. And now StreamYard has it, which totally opens up, you know, what a hybrid model could look like. So, and I think we've only, I mean, right, it's the tip of the iceberg with technology in this space, don't you think?
I definitely do. I think it's going to be funny in a few years when we're like, back in my day, you had to manually encode the video. Oh my God.
I feel that really hard.
Maybe we should create a little, we should create like a time capsule version or a time capsule episode, or at least like a time capsule article. It's like, here's the things that are currently annoying that we think will be fixed in the next 5 years. And scheduling a live stream, like that would have been on that list 6 months ago.
Absolutely. I love that. We should totally time capsule all this. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and then we can come back a year later. Oh, it could become like annual prediction sort of a thing. I enjoy when smart, interesting people do those. I hate when everyone else does it. So let's be smart and interesting.
It's no pressure or anything, right?
Predictions for 2023.
I have a question for you too on this note. I got thinking about this. I can be so blind in some ways, and it's also a superpower, of course, but like, just, you know, in terms of like getting really stuck on like, I understand why live digital is important. I understand why you and I believe live digital is important. But sometimes I have a hard time, as something you say often, like backing up to where everybody else is at. I mean, that's not true. I can, but it's not my default position. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. And I'm curious, like, why, if you had to guess, here's a prediction, make a prediction. Why are people showing up to, right, like this hop-in event that we were at last Thursday, interested in a panel called The State of Hybrid Events? What do you think is on their minds? And I guess this goes back a little bit to like, what is this word and what does it mean? And, you know, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, that's a really interesting lens, because it's, the definition of the word is going to settle out based on how people want to use it. So like, these people are going to join this event and by doing so inform what becomes hybrid. But I think that coming in, the first place that my brain went to was audiences, and specifically audiences that were acquired, cultivated, communities built over the past 2 years when a lot of things just had to be digital by necessity. And while that's no longer the case, people are like, well, all those people who, you know, don't live in New York City that really enjoy interacting with my community or my brand or my, you know, performances, I still like them. They still like me. Why can't we keep this good thing going? So I think that's like the biggest thing that's on people's minds right now is, well, I've already kind of been doing it. And now it seems that there are just more and more options and more pieces of technology and more things to be done. So let me see what else is out there. Let me see what else I can do. Let me see how I can make this better or more interesting, but continue what I'm kind of already doing, which is cultivating audiences and bringing people together regardless of where they are physically.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought of that at all as like, how do I maintain the, like, is that fair to say? How do I maintain the sort of like leg up I got during the pandemic with growing a customer base or audience or whatever?
Yeah, it's kind of like a forever forward mentality. Like, it's I'm already doing a bunch of stuff and I want to keep moving forward, and it seems like there's more different, better that can be done or can be learned, so let's go do it.
oh, well, then I really like, I'm reverse engineering our narrative, but I really like, you know, the idea that I went into this, you know, panel with, that like the definition of hybrid's really vast and expansive. And if you really just need to use your community that you're trying to cultivate, grow, maintain as your North Star to make the choices.
Yeah, I feel like it comes back to that idea that we talk about, that the technology is cool, but it's what you do with it that matters. And that feels similar here. It's like, oh yeah, the, you know, quote unquote technology that is a hybrid event, you know, it's intellectual property, intellectual technology, mm-hmm. is only as cool as what you do with it and what people are doing with it. What we think people should be doing with it is bringing people together, building communities, allowing people to see and interact with each other, regardless of where they physically are. You know, if you can mm-hmm. be together in time, that's just as good, sometimes even a little better than being together in person and in time.
Yeah, I really like that, because it just all, oh, it all goes back to, I mean, a lot of the questions, right, that were sort of in our brief, obviously are inspired by what's worrying people, right? Which is, how do you build a team to support a hybrid strategy? This can be intimidating if you don't have like a massive team, right? How did you engage your two audiences? Like all of these things. And it's, I mean, it's sort of like the way we think about it, you know, is like your curve you made that I've now referenced 1,000 times when I was talking about how I was thinking about live digital content, you know, and the different kinds that you can make. Well, it's kind of the same as a hybrid model, right? If you've got a huge community and they're digitally native already, and you've got the foundation and you've got the resources, like, of course, we're going to be like, let's build that massive team. Let's make a TV show, but that has all the pieces of YouTube in it, right? Where it's interactive and everybody's coming together, and it's going to be big and complicated, and you're going to need a ton of people. But if you're a small company like the association, again, right? Or small-ish, right? By design, this association was, you just don't have, you can achieve the same effect, which is drive people to show up, make sure they have a great time and stay, and that they, you know, give them something that makes them want to come back the next time. You can do that with so much less. Just like a good chat, a good fun chat, and a couple of cameras.
It makes me think of the success of podcasting too, which I believe is one of the early winners of what you're just describing, of it doesn't have to be the most insanely high production value. Like so many of the early podcasts that became successful are two dudes talking. Oh yeah, what do these two dudes have to say?
Oh, and it's like, two dudes talking is so good.
Yeah, and like I have two dudes talking podcasts that I still enjoy to this day. And you know, production values and style and composition of podcasts has changed, but it still is like a pretty low lift way to engage an audience if there is that connection and mm-hmm. you know, the having slightly lower, even just like slightly lower audio quality or slightly lower production or slightly less planning or scripting doesn't detract from the connection that person might feel to the two dudes who are talking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like a beautiful lesson to keep in mind as we get more complicated and start engineering different, cooler, better, bigger, weirder things with live digital and specifically hybrid events, where you're, you know, again, taking two events and trying to figure out how to blend them together. To keep that in mind of like, okay, don't get too distracted by the glitz and the glamour and the screens and the persons and the audio routing and all the fun things that are fun. Like, don't get me wrong, I really enjoy those problems and trying to build amazing experiences. But to not lose sight of the human being that is, you know, on that screen, or the human being that's in that room, and what they want, and how you get them to feel feelings and unlock that experience for them.
Yeah. And just to bring it back around, you know, as we sort of round this conversation up to what is your definition of hybrid? I mean, I actually think that's what, I don't know, you have to tell me if you agree, but my definition, my expanded definition of hybrid, actually has come from not my brain, right, that thought up doing this interactive live streaming concert that I didn't have a name for. It comes from all of our clients' teams who knew their community and their customers or their donors the best and said, this is what we think they need. And that was, you know, the surprise of like, hey, we're going to actually do something in person, film it, and then do a pre-recorded live stream with the digital audience, you know, 6 weeks later. Oh my God, what? That'll never work. But of course it is. It worked, right? Because no one knew their humans better than them. And they followed that as the North Star. And it led to all these other different, you know, variations and permutations of hybrid that we've experienced, again, particularly in the last 6 months, that have really challenged us to think about what it means and what could be possible.
God, it's so exciting. Something you were saying before about how a lot of the language right now around hybrid is like mitigation strategies. You know, it's how not to do it wrong, or how are you super overwhelmed by how complicated and crazy this is, and do you need to hire someone to help you out? Like, I want to reframe the feelings around it to be like, this is cool and exciting and crazy, and yeah, there's so many things you can do, and you have this great opportunity to engage with people who can't physically be with you. And like, how exciting and cool is that? And of course it does come with all those problems that we mentioned earlier, and those problems do give us stress and keep us up at night. But let's not start there. Let's start with a bit of the positivity, a bit of the excitement.
We're just a couple of real Pollyannas over here. I'm not making fun of you, though. I'm serious.
Oh.
I realize now you can't see my face. No, I'm 100% serious, because I feel the exact same way. It's amazing.
All those difficult problems can always be surmounted by a positive attitude, some pragmatism.
It's so true. Well, this has been a lovely episode, catching up and talking more about our really cool day we spent with Hopin last week. Thanks for listening and being a part of this get together.
And like we say every week, the goal of this podcast is to bring people together and to have these super important conversations. So we want you to share this one with someone who is thinking about hybrid, and maybe they're a little scared of it, but you want them to be excited, and they're going to get excited by listening to this.
We'll hold their hand. I'm Jess.
And I'm Joe.
And we will see you back here next week.